What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Cyclone Fanatic TV Live. I'm Jared Stansbury, joined as always by my friend Jeff Woody. What's up, Jeff? All right, sorry about that, everybody. Had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Jeff's headset wasn't working. All right, so yeah, take two. As always, Cyclone Fanatic TV Live is presented by our good friends at Agrigold. Those people know corn, dude. They've got 60 plus hybrid options. They've got 18 different options for soybeans, and they cover 17 different states across the United States. That's a lot of area, Jeff.
I don't cover 17 states.
No, you don't cover 17 states. That's Agrigold. They know corn. Agrigold.com, or you can give them a call, 1-800-262-7333. So you kind of got started, and then you were getting rolling.
Okay.
I'll let you go now, though.
The biggest difference you're going to see from any team is from week one to week two. This is especially true with a new coaching staff, because you can evaluate all you want when you're playing against each other, but you don't know the quality of your own guys. So if a guy's dominating the defensive end, and then turns out that defensive end is actually pretty poor, mm-hmm. then that guy that was dominating him doesn't really look that impressive anymore. So you have to get a gauge on what another team presents and what your guys actually look at. So the Iowa State coaching staff did a really good job of analyzing, or had a really good job of analyzing for what they thought they had. Then you actually get a first game, and they are doing a lot of reshuffling now of saying, this is what we've got, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to change. Where your next biggest change is going to come from is from players, especially the young pups, where they had, I think, more than a dozen redshirt sophomores that played significant snaps in that game. Those guys, a redshirt freshman hasn't played football in 2 years. So it takes a lot of adjustment for them to understand the speed of the game with which that travels. So a guy like Hakeem Butler did a lot of really good things, but there's also a lot of things that he can improve on. Mm-hmm. A guy like Joel Lanning, who we really like from a concept standpoint, did a lot of excellent things but made a lot of dumb mistakes. He had 6 starts coming into this year. So another improvement with a new system, a new quarterbacks coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, all of that stuff is different in week one. So you get the advantage and the possibility of moving from week one to week two with experience now. So there's a lot that should be different by week two.
Definitely. So we have some clips. We hopefully are going to have a little bit better setup here with the TV. I think we had some questions too, but a lot of the questions kind of revolved around the same stuff that we were talking about with, yeah, we everything's all messed up.
Technical difficulties.
With all of the microphones and stuff. But so you want to go back to the whiteboard, or do we want to show some videos here first?
We'll show some videos first, and we'll just make sure that I can actually move.
Yeah, I got it.
We'll go Bailey's reads, two of Bailey's reads.
Alright.
We're still relatively new at this, guys. This is like our third one. Give us a break. We're improving too. So one of the things that I wanted to point out that I said we have a lot of redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores, and true freshmen that are playing. This is really evident on the second series that Northern Iowa played, because the first series, it was a 3-and-out because we had experienced defensive tackles and defensive ends like DeMond Tucker or Mitchell Myers, Gabe Luna. Those guys were they're setting that pocket formally. Now, in that second series, the first half of that second series that ended with a missed field goal, they substituted in Jaquan Bailey and Jamal Johnson, which are two freshmen. Freshman discipline in pass rushing is a lot harder. So Jamal Johnson should be this number two and should have a number one to the top side. It should be Aaron Bailey. I think we pulled up the right clip. So we'll see it. We'll see it run. Just to make sure that we're looking at the right thing. So this is a read option. Excuse me. Miscommunication. Miscommunication.
Blame it on Adam Gray.
Blame it on Gray.
All right.
Yes. Should be. Okay. So here's where we have Jamal Johnson and Jaquan Bailey. What these two's, what this defensive line's job is supposed to be, is supposed to be these two ends are going to set a hard pocket edge, like we talked about in the past weeks, and these two are supposed to set a wide front of the pocket, occupying most of what this does. We'll play it one time all the way through and let you guys see if you can see what was wrong, and then we'll go back and I'll talk about it. So just one time through, without me talking, let you guys look at the play.
This is great radio for the podcast. I apologize, folks.
That's fine. If you're listening on audio, this is a very visual podcast. Get to CycloneFanatic.com and watch this live or on the recording. So you'll see that there was four spots that we had to get to. We had one, two, three, four. There is a very, very poor job because Bailey flies up the field. You have a blitz coming from the outside. Bailey should be setting this edge right here, becoming with Johnson as the two that are setting the front of the pocket. We have a blitz coming, or we have a pass rusher from the outside, which is Justin Thomas, who sets an edge here. We have two people setting an edge up here, and Jamal Johnson's the only one in the front of the pocket. So the reason why Aaron Bailey, which during the game, I was talking with Chris Williams and saying that good scramblers scramble forward, bad scramblers scramble backwards. So Aaron Bailey's a great scrambler, so when he understands that this washes by, he's going to squeak out the front because there's only one player. So run that forward and pause it right when we see this break. So I'll tell you when to give it a pause. So you'll see that you're going to bring multiple pressure from the outside, freeze. Multiple pressure from the outside of the blitzer, and this is Jaquan Bailey, and this is Jamal Johnson. Jamal Johnson should be occupying the front side of the pocket here. Jaquan Bailey should be occupying the front side of the pocket here. And this blitzer should not be screaming up the field this far. So you should have 1, 2, 3, 4. Instead, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. So we'll play it a little bit and freeze. You'll see that Jaquan Bailey, who's supposed to be here, occupying the front side of this pocket, allows Bailey really a two-way go, whichever he wants to go. Jamal Johnson did a decent job of holding his front side, or the front of this pocket, but what it doesn't allow, with Bailey being so crazy wide, it doesn't allow anyone to stop Bailey from running. So you may have a spy at linebacker trying to stay with Aaron Bailey. Aaron Bailey's faster than a linebacker. We saw that time and time again. So one spy doesn't do it justice if the pocket doesn't form. So watch it play the rest of the way out. So you'll notice that we have a guy making a diving attempt to correct a mistake that he didn't realize he made. So now we'll go to the read option, which is the play that you brought up the first time. So the next thing that we want to talk about with, as far as Aaron Bailey's concerned, is right here. Oh, okay. Aaron Bailey's read. Yep. So the next thing about Aaron Bailey, which this was just a miscommunication by the Iowa State defense, which is, again, this happened a while, and it's just understanding discipline and calls and who's responsible for what. Because before we watch this play go, this is going to be a zone read. The running back is going to carry or going to either carry the ball or play action fake to away from the trip side. Bailey is going to carry this to this side, and we're reading this defender here. Again, we'll let it run one time through. Those on audio, try and get to a computer or a screen so you can see it. So now, as we're playing Guess the Mistake at home, the mistake is actually twofold. So all the way back to the start of the play. One more second. So the mistake is actually twofold, because when you're playing a zone read, there's two things that you have to determine. One is this defensive end. The defensive end has to be responsible for one of these two guys. It means I'm either going to tackle the running back or I'm going to tackle the quarterback. One of the two options. The other guy is this backer who has to play the other. So if I know decisively that I'm in the defensive end, I have the quarterback, then it doesn't matter what type of action they run. He could run an option this way, or he could run an option this way, or he could run an option this way, whatever. If I'm the running back player, I tackle the running back wherever he goes. If I'm the quarterback player, I tackle the quarterback wherever he goes. Now, I don't know which one this is, so we'll let it play for about 2 seconds and freeze. So freeze. At this action, there's the mesh point. You have a running back going this way. You have a quarterback coming this way. Most likely what this was is Gabe's supposed to be a quarterback player and Kane's supposed to be a running back player. I know that because there's an offensive lineman pulling. The linebacker usually is going to follow a guard, meaning Kane plays the running back. Gabe plays the quarterback. So one of these two guys, whether it was Kane was supposed to pull out to the quarterback, Gabe was supposed to play the running back, or vice versa, one of them has to be decisive going to the other one. Kane sees a puller go away. He sucks in. Gabe gets sucked in by the running back action. All of a sudden, we'll hit play. All of a sudden, we have two guys getting stuck inside, and we have nobody to play the quarterback on the backside.
So who was it here that really made the mistake then?
I'm going to guess that it was Gabe, but it depends on the call. Because Gabe also could have been a running back player, mm-hmm. and once he saw the pull, then he just reacted like a football player, which is fine. Kane, in this situation, Kane would have been the quarterback player, and he just got caught up in the tackle motion and was supposed to actually come back to be the quarterback player. Now, we'll pull up one of Joel Lanning's runs, or one of Joel Lanning's reads in the front side. So, Lanning read option, I think, is the one that you showed me before. So, when we talk about which one of these players you're supposed to play, Northern Iowa always emphasized the running back. So they were okay. If Joel Lanning was going to run away with the game, fine. Do whatever you want. Let Joel Lanning run against us. What they weren't going to do is let Mike Warren or Kenne, again, I'm just going to not attempt the last name, or David Montgomery, I'm not going to let those guys beat me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tackle the running back or show you that I'm going to tackle the running back and make the quarterback keep it. So we'll watch this play one time full. And we'll go back. So it's not a bad play. It's a 4-yard gain on first down. That's not terrible. We can live with that. But what Northern Iowa was doing and what they did repeatedly in the first half of this game especially is they were taking away any option or any possible capacity for the running back to run the ball. So what this play is designed to do is we're going to leave this guy unblocked, this defensive end. We're not going to touch him at all. If he runs up the field and or after the running back, we're going to let him take himself out of the play, and the quarterback is going to run power right down the neck. If he runs at the mesh point because he sees run action, then we're going to give to the running back and let him sweep around. What happens here is that this lineman, so we'll play this so I can actually, so you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. We'll see a motion of the front side, the backers bump and freeze. He's playing straight up the field. So at the time, he's not actually going to make a tackle on Mike Warren. We'll see that much more demonstrably in the next clip. But what he's doing right now is trying to give the impression to Joel Lanning that I'm cutting off the running back. So if he hands this to Mike Warren, this is going to be a tackle in the backfield because the defensive end is taking away Mike completely out of the play. So this is a decently well-blocked play. We have a little bit of movement on a double team. We have a little bit of a cutoff here. And Joel squirts forward for 3 or 4 yards. What you'd like is if we were able to give this, you have 1-2-3 for 1-2-3, and Mike Warren's running on space. What Northern Iowa did and what likely the MO is going to be all year is on any read play, play the back, express your interest in stopping the running back running, and then we'll see if the quarterback can beat us with his feet.
Why? It seemed like there was a lot of times where Iowa State didn't even, like every single time they ran the ball, it was one of these read type mm-hmm. plays. What, I mean, I know, I understand that the difference is they're going to block that guy on a sweep, but why don't they go to that action more, maybe, I guess?
So I think what,
what was the difference, I guess, because Mike got some good runs on some stuff like that.
I think later in the game, it stopped becoming a read and it started becoming predetermined handoffs, which was good, but it's really hard to run the ball on first and 20. So by the time we got in a situation where the coaching staff made the adjustment to take the read out of the running game because they didn't need it. Can we pull up that one where Montgomery gets crushed? So when they made the adjustment, when you're going into the game, you think Joel Lanning, big dude, physical cat, he can run the ball. We're fine with that. So we're going to come in with a lot of reads because if they're going to allow Joel Lanning to run the ball, heck yeah, we're going to let Joel Lanning run the ball. He'll truck a safety. Well, it's a little bit harder to do when it's more congested in space. And frankly, Mike Warren's a much better runner than Joel is, and everybody knows that. So by the second half, they switched those to be more design runs, where you saw Mike pop out a couple different times. They got called back because of holdings, but he popped out a couple times because there are more predetermined handoffs. Now, that adjustment, like I said, was made a little bit too late because would have been nice to see that in the first half and establish a running game when your when their defense is fresh and you can wear them down. But that's again, one of those things that the coaching staff doesn't really know yet because they haven't seen their guys play against other teams. So this is the same type deal. It's the same type motion where this is going to be a read. It's the same play. We're letting this guy, letting the end man of line of scrimmage, we're letting him unblocked, and we're going to read what he does. In this case, the read is pretty easy. Again, we'll take that back to the start. So this is the same play. We're going to leave him unblocked, and we're going to take this and swing him out here just in case they decide to bite on this fake. Again, this is not a bad play. We end up getting 6 yards, or Joel Lanning ends up running for 6 yards, which is a good first down snap. We'll deal with that. You're second and four. What you'd like to have is the capacity for the running back to get a sweep. Now, the way you can simply change this to make this a really easy difference, to make it a predetermined give, is instead of letting this guy lead on a safety, we're going to block down the defensive end. And then this is a predetermined handoff. That's the simple changes that you can make. Because if I have a quarterback that's just facilitating the ball, he can't block anyone, which automatically leaves one guy on the defense that we can't account for. Because that's taking him out of the play, that's 10. And we have 10 guys to account for 11 guys. So we're automatically leaving somebody unblocked. That person that's going to be unblocked, we're reading him or we're going to make him miss with our back. So what a team like Iowa does is they're going to leave a second level player or a backside linebacker unblocked and assume that their running back is going to make them miss, which Iowa State again did later in the game, but it was a little bit too little too late and in really bad situations in first and 20. So Mike or Montgomery doesn't have the capacity to do that on this play because they're taking away any running back read.
So could part of it just be, you know, like you said, that coaches don't quite have a feel for it yet, and they might not quite have that trust in Mike Warren that if they give him the ball in a situation like that, that he's going to make a guy miss, or he's good enough to make that guy miss? Because I guess in theory, to me, it seems like Mike would be good enough in a lot of situations to make a defensive end miss, or at least make one guy miss to get a good play.
The chess game that Iowa State's coaches were playing were that their defense was going to respect Joel Lanning as a runner much more than they did.
Okay.
Because we take the quarterback out of the play, and we have 10 guys to block 11. What the read option does is it adds him back in the mix as a possible blocker. So in this exact play, he becomes a functional blocker if this guy chases down on the quarterback, because he is accounting for him to take him out of the play. So in essence, then, you get 1-2-3 on 1-2-3, and you get the running back on space. So your quarterback is, in essence, blocking that guy, and then everybody else is blocking the front side. So the upside of a read or a reading of that front side or reading of any defensive lineman has a much higher ceiling because you're allowing the quarterback to be a blocker. Mm-hmm. Without that, then you're leaving somebody unblocked, which is, again, not a giant deal when it's Mike Warren, because that's, again, the adjustment they made later is they switched and started blocking everyone up front because it allowed them to actually do something.
I just feel like that's a battle that Iowa State could win a lot of times.
And I bet they will. Yeah. And I bet they will. They're going to probably start switching that to a much more set blocking assignment up front rather than a read.
I'm borrowing Jared Stansberry's headset here to ask the Coach Jeff Witte a question here. Now, I'm just looking at the screen right now. Why would Iowa State not just man up right here, have Filbert block the defensive end? You have, is that Mike Warner Montgomery there? I can't tell who's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Block that outside linebacker. And then it obviously is dependent on Mike Warren blocking that outside linebacker. You have Lazard one-on-one, a great blocker out there. You have a tight end going up against the safety. And you're leaving the middle linebacker for you and I to try to catch Kene, who Iowa State coaching staff says is the fastest guy on the team, bar none, to keep up with him getting outside. I mean, I like my matchup on that. Why would you even worry about running a read option there and keeping that defensive end unblocked? I mean, to me, that if you're going to run that play and you're going to try to use the speed of that guy, it seems like a waste.
Okay. We'll see if we can get this back up on the screen. I'll tell you, that's a good thought. But the problem is, if you're running something like this, even if they're out of the backfield, a defense responds to flow. So if they see full flow motion, so we'll actually just play this for about 3 seconds and watch what this second level does. So they're going to respond to flow. So freeze. See, everybody's running that way. So now restart it. So the defense sees full flow motion of this speed guy going one way, pull, we got this guy going, we got a puller coming this way. That tells me the play is going that way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are all going to this side of the field. So reset it back to zero. If we're going to take this guy and seal here and leave him unblocked and base him on speed there, the problem is his job is to play contain. So he's not going to be a sitting duck. That means I have 7.5 yards of space that I've got to somehow close on him. What he's going to do if he sees this and he knows that he's going to be the contain blocker is he's going to play up the field. So if I play up the field and I'm playing here, I could still try and kick him out. This middle backer, they may be a linebacker, but this most middle linebackers can still run 4.7, 4.8. Kenne is fast as heck. But if he can't get a full head of speed, and because this contain player, he has to cut back at all, and you're not touching this guy, it's going to be a contact right here. So the full flow of the play means you have to account for everybody in the box first, and then you're going to have to try and take care of somebody there. So I've got to block these guys before I think about blocking these guys. Right, which is, that's a fair play. That's a fair play. It's in a what-if situation, if we're going to crack down here, we're going to double team this to the front side backer and leave him for whomever may be coming, that's a fair play. We've run that at Iowa State. We've run that here. It's just not on this particular play we were going to leave him unblocked, assuming they were going to respect the run at all. So chronologically, this is what happened in the first quarter. It started to unravel a little bit as we got going a little bit farther. I think the safety was the next play. So when we talked about protections, we'll do this actually from the board here if we can get the camera to switch. So if I'm good, what happened in this is Iowa State was empty. It was actually 3 receivers to the right, 1 receiver to the left. So we were empty. And this is what's called cover zero. Coverages are determined by how many deep safeties there are. So in cover zero, there are no deep safeties. There are no deep players. They're playing man-to-man, 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 man-to-man.
So in this situation, as a defense, are you pretty much banking on your blitz is going to hit?
They're saying we can man up for a second and a half by the time our defense gets to your quarterback. Now, they were playing soft zero, which is a little bit strange. So what zero allows you to do is if I'm man to man with 5 different receivers, that's 5 guys, and they have 5 offensive linemen and a quarterback, and I've got 6 dudes left on defense, then I can blitz 6. They can only block 5 of them. So I know for a fact as a defense, I can get 1 guy free. So as a quarterback, how do I possibly protect this? You can't. This is an impossible protection. So what you do here is you call a hot route. So this is saying, I can't block everybody, and I've got to get rid of the ball in the 1 second or a second and a half that it takes this defensive end to get uninhibited to me. So what a hot route is catch, throw.
You got to hit when you hit triangle.
Triangle on Madden. Again, I play Madden Mobile. I don't know these things. So it's an immediate hot route. If I've got a blitzer free, I'm hot in like the second it happens. So what that means for the wide receivers and the quarterback is they've got to both know that. So there's going to be a safety valve on either side, which is going to be the inside receiver. If I see that I'm hot as a quarterback, I'm going to tell one of these guys with a hand signal, run a hitch or run a slant or run something quick that I can get out of my hands, and you have to look immediately on the snap. So we'll come back to the screen. We're going to watch it one time without me saying what was wrong, and you guys tell me who was wrong in this situation. Okay, we'll replay this again. So in this situation, Joel knows I'm hot right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got six guys up, and I've got one, two, three, four, five to block. I know that we can't contain all of them. I've got soft coverage on the inside receiver here and soft coverage on the inside receiver here. My hot route is most likely number three running a slant. I say number three because I count. You always count receivers from the outside in. So it's number one, number two, number three, number one, number two. So number three has a slant. I'm going to run two steps and turn. And right on the snap, I have to get my eyes around right now. I have to know that I'm the outlet. So we'll play it for a second and we'll let it freeze. Freeze. Joel knows he's hot. We still have no eyeballs. We're not turned around at the hot receiver. So we'll play it for one more second. Freeze. Actually, run that back. Run that back. And we're going to actually, I'll let it play. Joel, look back to about right here. So watch Joel's feet. He knows that he's hot. He's trying to get rid of the ball because he sets up to throw, but there's no eyeballs for him to turn around, so he starts to bail backwards. So we'll hit play. He sets up his feet. He knows he's trying to throw hot, but we don't have any eyeballs looking behind him to catch that hot route. So he's just throwing at the back of somebody's head if he tries to get rid of it. So there's multiple people wrong here. If this happens again, Joel's job is to throw this at somebody's feet. The worst thing that can happen here as a quarterback, the worst possible scenario that you can allow is an incomplete pass. If I know that I'm hot and my hot route isn't looking at me, I throw it at his feet. Right now, I never double clutch on a hot route. So what I'm going to try and do is just get rid of it right now. The other person that's wrong is the number three receiver or the number two, whomever the hot route may be. I don't know which one of these guys is hot. If I see this guy as the hot route and I tell him, hey, I can't block these guys in front of me, run something quick and give me your eyes. Now, if we decide to run a slant route here and we get our eyes open, we're catching that right here with this guy with 8 yards of space. This guy's on the outside here. That's might be running for a while. That's a pretty
Mike
good
Warren
play.
That's Mike Warren too. So
I would trust Mike Warren in space here, but one of these guys has to know that they're hot, and Joel has to know if I'm hot, I can't ever double clutch that. It's got to be gone right now.
All right. So when he gets running like this, would the better situation be to just throw it as far as you possibly can out of bounds?
The best situation is to like I said, just throw it at someone's feet. Never double clutch when you're unprotected.
Okay.
The next best situation is
don't run backwards.
We're good scramblers.
Run forward.
Run forward. Bad scramblers, run backwards. So don't ever retreat. You have to get out. So the only way you're going to belly back is if you know you can beat this guy with speed. So if I'm going to belly back to get back forward, I don't want to lose ground to gain ground. Unless you're Mike Vick, if I know that I could beat this guy with speed, I'm Jerome Tiller. That was his MO. It's just, I'm going to belly back and be faster than you. Joel's fast, but he's not that fast. He's more of a physical guy. So I can't belly back. If, for whatever reason, I know that my guys aren't looking and I can't throw it at somebody's feet, I have to run laterally right now and throw it as far down the field out of bounds as I possibly can once I leave the pocket. Gray has a question. We're going to jimmy rig this headset situation.
One thing I don't think we've talked about here, too, is they obviously brought six. We had five. They had two guys come through there. I mean, that seems like a clear miscommunication to the offensive line as well. I mean, is that something you typically see when it's a guessing game with the offensive line as far as who's coming, who's not coming? Is this something that you think will be fixed with Julian Good-Jones coming back and Fett moving it inside? Or is it just an inexperienced, undermanned, under-talented offensive line?
I think it's probably it's miscommunication. Because offensive line, these five guys have to work together. So we're going to come back to the camera on the whiteboard here. So if I've got six dudes, they have to be responsible for gaps. So they're going to be responsible for these. For the sake of any quarterback draw, I can't bring two guys here and leave this open. So I still have to be gap sound as a defense. So I'm going to blitz somebody in every gap. So as an offensive line, I got to know that. And I also have to know what direction we're going. So this is a perfect opportunity for a full slide. So the quarterback has to know which direction they're going to, and I have to know which one I'm going to be hot off of. So if I know that they're bringing a full slide, then they're going to make some call that starts with an R or some call that starts with an L. Ricky, Lucy, Roscoe, Lunch, whatever. And then everybody goes one gap to their left. And I'm going to take the one dude that's to my left side, that's going to be responsible for the guy on my left. What we did is we collapsed to the middle because I think one side heard one call and the other side heard another call, and everybody collapsed to the middle, which left both of the outside guys free.
Yeah, it looks like there's five guys blocking three dudes right there.
There's five guys blocking four dudes. There's five guys blocking four guys on the inside, and both of my outside receivers, or both of my outside rushers, come open, giving him nowhere to run.
All right, so let's talk about this interception real quick so we can talk about Iowa a little bit too.
Yes. So we'll go to this last interception. And the interception that we're going to talk about isn't the second one, because that was just Joel making a play. You guys have seen that on the highlights. What this one is most likely, again, a miscommunication of what the route concept is. So we'll watch it one time through without me talking, and then one time through with me talking. And we'll just, you don't have to watch the return. We'll just watch it up to the interception. So likely what this is going to be is there's a miscommunication as to one of two different things. I don't know the playbook. I don't know what this play is specifically called, and I don't even know what the intent of this route is. But in general terms, there's one of two things that could have happened. One is if you see a high safety, if this safety is going to go way over the top, one of the rules of a wide receiver is to never run yourself covered if you're an option. If I know that I'm a runoff guy, then I want to take a safety with me as I just run past somebody so I can open up someone else. Both of these guys are options on this play. So if I know that there's a safety that's going to follow me deep and I'm potentially an option, I never run myself covered. So if I see a safety fly, I got to make my route a little more shallow because he's going to end up deep, then I end up here. So what Joel was thinking is option number one, what Joel was thinking is that as this route, because this is what's called a flag concept, where it's flat flag. So Joel, what he was thinking is, I see high safety. Trevor's going to keep this tight to pull the corner up. Allen's going to break this route off shorter to let the safety run deep. And then I have a nice little hole behind the corner and in front of the safety. So either he thought Allen was going to flatten his route out farther, or the second option is the other way that I can get across this is I know that this is called cover two, where this guy's going to play the flat. This guy's going to play deep coverage. So one, two deep safeties are going to play back. This guy is responsible for a flat, but the way a corner plays is if there's nobody in the flat, I deepen to the next deepest. So we'll watch it. We'll play this forward just a little bit, and I'll tell you when to freeze. So freeze right here. This is your deep player, and you have a deep player here. So this guy ends up actually becoming the flat player, and the corner bails. So the flat player, if I'm playing this flat and I'm responsible for this area of the field, I'm going to be as deep as the deepest one I need to cover. So if there's nobody up here in a flare or something like that, then there's no reason for me to be standing right here. I'm covering air. So I'm going to play as deep as the deepest that I can possibly cover and let someone else handle it behind me. So now we'll play a little bit farther. Freeze. So he's going to run some type of hitch, and Allen's coming in behind. So if this route could be too deep, this route could potentially be thought of as a conversion. But most likely what happened is there's a miscommunication as to what these guys are doing and what he's seeing. So we'll run that one more time full. So actually, freeze it right here. I take that back. That was a good view. Freeze right there. So what Allen or what Joel thought is that Allen was going to break this route off in front of this guy, and that ball is going to be put right here as Trevor sits and pulls this guy forward. This is the hole that Joel thought Allen was going to be occupying. I don't know who's right and I don't know who's wrong, but that's the thought process from one to the other.
For sure. So you and I talked about during the game the other night about how what you and I was doing to take away Alan Lazard at parts of the game, mm-hmm. coverage-wise. Mm-hmm. Would you expect Iowa to do something similar to that, and then can you put that up on the board?
I think Iowa's ballsy enough not to, because they respect the heck out of Alan Lazard, but they've got Desmond King. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what they're going to try and play, so Iowa is one of the easiest conceptual game plans that Iowa State's going to have all year. From an execution standpoint, not so much, because they've got really good players. They do what they do, and they do it very well. Iowa is a cover two and man scheme. So they almost always play two deep safeties, and they play man underneath. This, you can count on this like freaking clockwork, that Iowa is going to run some four down front, two deep safeties, man underneath. So this guy's going to be man here, excuse me, man here, and man here. That's what they're going to play. And they're going to be, by their assignments, they're going to have to bump to that. They'll occasionally throw some different coverages in there. They may be a cover three every once in a while. They may be cover one every once in a while, which means three deep players, or maybe cover one with one deep player. It's all determined by whomever is, how many deep players we have. So, excuse me. So, with Iowa, what Iowa's going to do with coverage, excuse me, well, I'll take that back. What you and I did with coverage, say Allen is playing this receiver position here. What they did is they played one man tight on him and shifted the coverages over to the side. So this safety was playing, say for example, it was cover two, and they're playing two deep safeties. What you're supposed to have is if this is the hash here and this is the hash here, I'm going to have everything from the middle of the field that way and the middle of the field this way. With Allen, they shifted that here. So whatever side Allen was on, that border became tighter. So this safety was really just concerned with everything to Allen's side, which on that touchdown to Dondre Daly, there was trips to one side and Allen to the other, and they still played this coverage to try and keep him contained over the top. Well, the guy that ended up catching the touchdown was right here. That's a really long ways for this guy to travel. So what Iowa's going to do is they're still going to play up top, and they're going to say, Allen Lazard, you're a really good football player, but Desmond King's a really good football player too. So they're going to play man and still play a traditional coverage behind him because they trust in Desmond King's ability to at least stay with Allen Lazard. And I would too, as he was the Thorpe Award winner. That's the best defensive back in the country. I trust Desmond King's ability to play man coverage. Now, as an Iowa State fan, I love the fact that I'm getting single coverage because, you know, think Ali Foreman or Ali Frazier. They're trading blows. Each one's going to get their shots on the other. So I trust Allen to win at least a couple battles with Desmond King, whether it's deep, whether it's on slants, whether it's something else. But they're going to play a traditional one-over-one coverage here, one-over-one coverage here, and they'll play man with some combination elsewhere.
Do you think that there's a matchup that Iowa State could exploit in that situation?
I do, and this is going to rub, I don't know what Hawkeye fans' perception of Greg Maben is, but I don't think Greg Maben's a great man coverage corner. He's a good zone cover corner. Whenever they do decide to run cover two, he's physical. He likes to get up in people's business. He's a really good tackler, but I don't think he's that great at man coverage. So whomever, say we've got twins again, and I've got a backer that's playing out in space. I don't know, it's a Sam backer likely. Sam backer in my middle, and Nose are playing here, and I've got some type of corner that's playing wherever. This is going to be man-to-man. I like Dondre Daly tweaked his ankle, but whether it's Hakeem Butler or Dondre Daly playing this opposite wide receiver, I like this matchup. Because if they're going to play man-to-man, one thing that's really easy to do is to isolate one guy on one guy. So you can run formations to the other side, and if they're going to keep this traditional man coverage, two deep, man under, then this is a true one-on-one matchup to say, if I run a slant, or if I run a go, or if I run some type of corner or something like that, that my guy is going to beat your guy. I think in man situations, you can beat Greg Maben. If they're going to play him in zone, I think he's a really good zone corner. Like I said, he's really physical. He's a good tackler. In zone, there's a lot more coming off the edge to actually play a tackling position. But I think in man coverage, you can get Greg Maben with a little bit of advantage with our number two wide receiver.
Did you get a chance to watch Iowa?
I got a chance to watch about the first half.
So this is a question that somebody had on the forums. What are your thoughts on Iowa's play this last weekend versus Miami of Ohio? It seemed like they were very vanilla, no stunts, very few blitzes, etc. Would Josie Jewell's ejection change the defense's game plan since he's the middle linebacker and sets up the defense?
Nope.
No?
Iowa doesn't blitz very much at all. Well, I'll go back to the board. I just sat down, but I get antsy when I sit down too much, so I'm gonna have to stand up. And Jared, I might use you for a demo if you might have to come over here. So one of the things that Iowa does really, really well is they run what's called a two-gap position. And what that means is the defensive lineman, whomever is blocking them, they play, and you'll actually face the camera this way. So this is an offensive lineman. and I have one gap on this side and one gap on this side. If I'm the defensive lineman, what I do really well, now we'll turn this way, what I do really well as an Iowa defensive lineman is I get extension and I do what's called a two gap. So I'm going to peek because they train their guys to be strong and physical with inside position. So I get extended here and I peek to the running back or the ball carrier which way he's going. If that ball carrier is playing to this side of Jared, then I throw to the inside and I come off this way rather than what other teams do. What's not a two-gap technique is I'm responsible for this area regardless of who's blocking me. So I'm not going to take him on with my arms. I'm going to take him on as an extension of my shoulder and play this gap and let someone play here. Iowa plays with their defensive lineman a two-gap position. So whether he running back comes in, whether running back goes out, I extend and shed to that side. So Iowa, they are super vanilla, and they don't need a lot of protection because if you have good defensive tackles, then I've got – you can sit down, Jared – then I've got a two-gap position on either one of these sides, and I can have my center climb up to one side or the other. Now, if I've got four guys playing a two-gap position, both of these guys can come off in either direction, so I've essentially got all of these gaps filled with just my defensive linemen. When Iowa's been really good, like when they had Adrian Claiborne and Broderick Binns and Mike Daniels, all those guys that are playing the NFL, this is what they did really well, is they let their linebackers run around because these guys are just getting stood up by this defensive lineman.
So does a lot of being successful in something like that, it comes down to your personnel?
It's personnel. It's very personnel heavy. So I think this year, I think their defensive linemen, they got a Nelson kid out on one end and they got Parker Hesse on the other. Mm-hmm. Parker Hesse's a good pass rusher, but he's little. So J.P. Philbert could do a pretty good job in running to his side. So I would expect to see a lot of runs in combinations to Parker Hesse, because say we're running that sweep play and we've got, and we're gonna do this where the M receiver is gonna come on, hypothetically the situation Gray was describing earlier, this M receiver is gonna come on a sweep and I'm gonna be responsible for blocking this front side end to this front side backer. So what I'm gonna do is I can either set a tight end to this front side or treat the running back in the same way, where we're going to give a sweep to this guy and we're going to combo this backer to this back side. And I trust the fact that J.P. Philbert can take Parker Hesse by himself, and then the running back is going to be up on the linebacker, corners blocking here. Then I've got one-on-one with whoever this receiver is on this number one receiver or on this safety. So I would anticipate that you're going to see a lot of runs to whatever side Hesse's on. I think he's a 6'2", about 245-ish, which as a defensive end, he's really active. He's really quick. But if you get hands on him, you can move him out of the way.
Okay. See what else we've got here, if there's anything. What do you imagine the biggest changes from week one to week two will be?
A lot more design runs for Mike Warren that aren't reads. Because I think, like I said before, I think the coaching staff overestimated the respect that's going to be paid for Joel Lanning's running ability, and they underestimated the intensity that they're going to press Mike Warren. Mm-hmm. Because I think what they thought is the defense would think, man, Joel Lanning, he's a mobile cat. He's 6'2", 240. He's a big ball carrier. We don't want him to be running. So it's a tough decision for them to make, and they're going to play it pretty straight up. What they said is, we don't care about Joel Lanning running. We just don't want Mike Warren to run. Mm-hmm. So they played every read hard to the running back. I would expect to see a lot more design runs to the running back because that takes away that chance for the defense to not respect.
Definitely. Adam, you got anything else?
Predictions.
Oh, yeah. What's your prediction, Jeff?
This is the most impossible game of the year to predict because it's all just, it's piss and vinegar. And who is going to make the least amount of mistakes? I think the mistake that Iowa would make is if they decide to come out and this is going to sound strange. If you watch and live on the film that Iowa State put against you and I, you are going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Because the amount of changes that are going to come from week one to week two, whether it's personnel, whether it's scheme, are going to be huge. So the tips and tendencies you're going to get from week one aren't going to be valid for week two. So I think Iowa's mistake is if they rely too heavily on that first week and not trying to predict and play the chess match of what are you going to do in response to this thing that you've seen, mm-hmm. and trying to game plan against their checks rather than game plan against what they see, then Iowa could be in for a world of hurt because there's going to be a lot of different stuff given. Now, Iowa State's mistakes are going to be the dumb stuff we saw. We're not running hot on a receiver or not understanding of the check to a route. It's just simple miscommunication stuff that takes a feel for what am I doing and what have I done in the past and what are you expecting me to do? So a long answer to a short question. I'm going to say that this game is within 7 points one way or the other because I just, in this game, in my heart, I can't pick Iowa ever. I'm going to just say 24-20. Iowa State's going to come away with another win.
There you go. So thanks for tuning in to Cyclone Fanatic TV Live. As always, presented by our sponsor, Agrigold. They know corn. Look them up online, agrigold.com. For Jeff Woody, I'm Jared Stansberry. Thanks for watching.